Good to be here with you, being in church. I don't know if I messed up the schedule, if it's Brother Billy to blame or Brother Paul. But here I am, and I do very much appreciate Brother Paul's prayer and his opening. And I do ask and beg that you continue, as I stand before you, to be a continuous and instant prayer for me coming to a different church. That you're not pastor of, and I used to be in that every week. I always try to be very aware of what the Lord is leading me. Some thoughts that have not been on my mind, and then I have to trust that He's put them on my mind for you all.
Amen.
And but that can be very scary for a man. And so I do. Again, beg for your prayers. I'd like to consider, and it goes along with what Brother Paul opened up with, the thought, living by faith. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 16. I'd like to look at a few verses here and try to look, and if you would, just bear with me, but whenever I'm looking at scriptures, I try to consider the men, I try to consider the time, I try to consider the events and everything that's going on at this moment. And here in John chapter 16, we're right there at the cross. We're just the night before. And Jesus has said a lot. He has had the Passover meal with them back in John 13. And he has just covered so much ground. It's very overwhelming. And he's coming to a place here where he's kind of got to wrap it up, because he knows that Judas has went out. He's already betrayed Christ. And now the Roman soldiers and the chief priests, the Lord knows they are on the way. So he's kind of got to wrap his thoughts up, if you will. And he's going to end, if you will, his thoughts in John 17 with a prayer. But I want to look at John 16, some of the last things he says to his disciples. At the end of John 15, he says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me."
Amen.
"And ye also shall bear witness." In other words, you shall testify too.
Yeah.
"Because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Mm-hmm. He's going to use this phrase, and I want to touch on a few of them here. He's going to use this phrase several times here, and he's used it several times before. But again, considering the time, the situation, that he's fixing to leave them, and he's going to the cross, and they're going to be scattered. He talks about this. You're going to be scattered. And they're going to be offended. They're going to be. We see that displayed with Peter. They're going to be offended. But he says, "But I'm telling you these things. I've spoken unto you these things, that you should not be offended."
Right.
You know, that's our biggest struggle in life. That's why we're instructed to live by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
We're to follow the Lord. But what happens? Because we're men and we're sinful beings and we live in a world that's so corrupt. Well, Christ offends us.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it. And we live sometimes in a state where we can't escape. We want it. It's like we live a double life. You ever feel like y'all live a double life?
Yeah.
Come on now, I'm just trying to be real with you.
That's right.
I do. I feel like I live a double life. I feel like there's one side of me that desires to be this way and to walk in my flesh and to do the pleasures that I want to do,
right,
that please me. But then there's another side of me, it's the Lord himself.
Amen.
That instructs me and tells me and convicts me that's wrong.
Right.
I should kill that. I should crucify that and live this way. And it's like, okay, well, I'm over here right now. And then I have to make an actual effort and offend my flesh and step over here,
yeah,
and live here.
That's right.
But you know what I do? I'll step right back over here, and you know who I have offended? I've offended him.
That's right.
And we go back and forth.
That's exactly
back and forth. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Why is he saying this to them right now? Why? Because he knows they're men.
Yeah.
He knows their nature. And he knows his nature in them. He says, I've told you these things. I'm going to send you. He said, I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to give you something that's out of this world. The third person of the Godhead to be with you always. Think about that. He says, I'm going to send him. He's going to come from my Father, the Spirit of Truth. Notice the capital S, Spirit of Truth. I want y'all to consider that thought for just a moment. You have the third person of the Godhead, God himself, the Spirit of Truth in you at all times. He never leaves.
Amen.
He never leaves. You might not see him. You might not recognize that he's there. But he's always in you. He's never left you. Think about that. When he took up his abode in you, he's never stepped away. He's never left you alone.
Amen.
That's a big thought for me. It really is. Because I feel like that, well, there's often times that I don't see, I don't recognize. And then he'll show himself, he'll manifest himself, and I'll probably be over here. And then I'm like, it's a dagger to the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, you were here the whole time. How did I forget that? How did they forget these things? You know, they were going to forget all this. All the teachings that Jesus told his disciples, as these, they walked right beside him every day, witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. They heard so often. I mean, they heard every word he said. But so often he went right in this ear, right out that ear, because they were thinking about something else. I mean, yeah, they were like me. I was like them. Yeah. I am like them. How often am I, you know, giving instruction? And my mind's on something else. And I heard you. But I didn't take it to heart. And then I just forget. It's 10 minutes and I have completely forgotten.
Right.
Never to be remembered again. Until the Lord reminds me. I'm thankful that he does. Notice what he says next, though. This is going to be some hard truth. And the Lord's full of it. The Lord is full of hard truths. We find this back in John chapter 6 at the end of the chapter when his disciples, remember at that time there were many disciples, and they came to him and they said, Lord, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them?
Yeah.
And it says that they walked with him no more. They just went away. But then the 12 were still there, and he asked them, the Lord asked them, he said, are you going to go away also? And they said, Lord, where can we go? Where would we? But here he's going to tell them some hard truths. He says, I'm telling you these things that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Now, how would you like that truth this morning? What if the news wasn't good news this morning? What if we had met here today like Jesus and his disciples were met together in this garden here? And Jesus is telling them, listen, it's coming. Your day's ahead. When you go into the synagogues, they're going to remove you. What kind of inspiration would you like that this morning? Hey, coming up. Hey, no more coming to church. We're going to have to find somewhere else to go. What kind of news? You know, that I think all of our ears would perk up if we heard that message this morning. What do you mean? Tell me more. I don't understand. But Jesus, this is truth. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. That happened. That happened. By the way, still happening. Still happening. He says, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things have I told you. Notice, he reiterates, re-emphasizes that when the time shall come, ye may remember. I don't know how much they're really taking in here. I really don't. Because he points out here, you're going to forget. I mean, he just points it out. Because when this time does come, that you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. Notice, I'm going to skip all the way to the end of the chapter. Because I want us to consider, and Lord, I need his help this morning. I always need the Lord's help. Amen.
Yeah.
Because I've got a thought, because see, Christ is our example. He's our example. He told us that back in John 13 when he washed the disciples' feet. He said, I've given you this example. So he is our example.
Amen.
He says in the end of this chapter, John 16, if we go to the end, he asked them a question. Now, I encourage you to read. I'm not going to stand up here and read the Bible for you. But he asked them a question in verse 31. Do ye now believe? That's an interesting question, don't you think? For 12 men or 11 men here that have been walking with our Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. 3.5 years of witness. And have witnessed so many miracles. You know, of course, it's raining today, and anytime I'm coming to church and it's raining, I always think about storms, and I like storms. I'm kind of a storm guy. But, you know, I don't like being out on the water in storms. Who likes to be on boats out on water when there's a big storm coming through? No. No way in their right mind. And, you know, I wish... I can see it by the eye of faith, but I really have something in me, a desire, if you will, to have been on that ship with the disciples when Jesus spoke, peace, be still.
Right.
And to witness nature obey immediately. That's I can see it, but I really want to actually see with my own eyes. But as Peter talked about being eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
They were eyewitnesses. And here, we're right before the cross, and he asked them the simple question. And if he's asking it to them, I know it's for me too.
Yeah, that's right.
Do ye now believe? Do I believe in the Lord? Do I believe what he's taught, what he's commanded? Do I believe in his example? And I'm getting to a point here. Do I really believe in his example?
Yeah.
Just think about that thought for a second. Because again, he's going to tell them some hard truth. And we so often don't like hard truth. See, really, that's why I know I live a double life. This side of me, this nature side, you know what it wants? Cadillacs, cotton candy, ice cream, all the easy stuff.
Yeah.
This side over here, this word right here, you know what it tells me? Life is hard.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it tells me. Life is hard. Now, which one do y'all really like? Which one do y'all prefer to walk in? I'm just trying to I'm trying to show I'm real. I have real struggles. Yeah, we always want what's easier.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. It's here. That ye shall be scattered. Now these 11 men have not left each other for 3.5 years. They haven't left Jesus. He hadn't left them. I mean, he has for a moment, if you will. Remember, there was one storm. He put them on that ship and he said, you go. And then he came that night walking on water. He might have suffered to not be with them for a moment so they could see. I'm going to tell you, he's never left you. He promised that. That was a promise.
Yeah.
He said, but the time has come that you shall be scattered. Every man to his own, you shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. He's pointing to his example that we have now.
Yes.
We're never alone.
Amen.
These things, again, I have spoken unto you that in me, that's the whole, it's all. He is all. In me, you might have peace. Peace.
Yeah.
Now, where is peace at? Why don't you just think for a minute. Where's your peace at? Is peace when you get a new truck?
No.
Well, for about the first 5 minutes until you got to go fill it up. Or buy the insurance. Or, you know, maybe you might make it to the first oil change or tire rotation. But then you realize there ain't no peace in that. It's just of something else material.
Right.
Cadillac's always fun. That first half a day. And then somebody might have opened their door up, dinged it. No more peace. See, peace isn't in the world. Peace is in your mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Living by faith. Where's faith at? It's inside. Can't see it.
Right.
He says, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Y'all like that message? It's not a pleasant one, but it's the truth.
It's the truth.
All of us can admit that. It is the truth. He says, but be of good cheer. Okay.
I know.
All right. We'll try. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Let's go back up to the end of Luke. And I want to consider this thought for a minute. Why is this the Why is this the fact of the matter? That we have tribulation, but we're to be of good cheer, and it's in Christ that we have peace. Why is this the fact of it? Why is it not, you know, we kind of want it reversed, don't we? What do I mean by that? If we go to the very last chapter of Luke, the disciples, now remember where we were just at. We were just right before the cross, right? And I hope we know the story. If you don't, you can read it right here in the last three chapters of Luke pretty quickly. And Luke lays it out very well. But they take Jesus, and his disciples are scattered, and they mock him the rest of that night and into the morning, and they carry him before three different courts, essentially. And they beat him and strip him and treat him in ways that no man ought to be treated.
Amen.
Psalm tells us, he says, I gave, or was it Isaiah? I'm trying to remember. I'm in prophecies, not getting mixed up. But he says, I gave my back to the smiters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he went through. And his disciples, they didn't want to go through that. So they stayed back and they split up. And I'm going to tell you, they forgot all the times that Jesus told them, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again on the third day. He told them that. But they didn't remember. They forgot. And that's where we get here to the last chapter in Luke. You know, the Marys were at the tomb. And it was the sisters. God bless you, sisters. Us men, I'll tell you what we're like. It says right here. It says in verse 10 of Luke 24, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. You know, us hard-headed men, sometimes we just do not listen.
Right.
And we ain't going to hear it. And here's a perfect example of that, because it says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. That's me all day. That's it just is. That's just the sad reality of some things. But I think to prove them wrong, Peter arose. And he ran to the sepulcher and stood, stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, they done told him, we've seen the angel. We thought he was the gardener. And Jesus was going to suffer his disciples not to see him until the following night. This is first thing in the morning, and Jesus will not show himself to his disciples until that night. It's up.
Yeah.
I always find that so interesting. Showed himself to the sisters first.
Yeah.
But then won't show himself to the brothers until later. And I think it's because of lack of faith.
Yeah.
I think that's why. So then it says, it kind of changes direction here. And it says, behold, two of them went the same day into a village called Emmaus. And I believe this is two disciples of the Lord. They're not named until right here. It says, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlongs, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. They're talking about the last 3 days, and I believe the week up to. They're discussing what all has right. transpired
yeah.
in the last, call it 7 to 10 days. Because these two were as convinced as much as the other disciples and the sisters, disciples too, and others that were healed. You got to remember, Lazarus is walking and went around. The dead man, Lazarus, is walking around. He ain't dead, obviously. The Lord said, come forth. He came back alive.
Yeah.
There's other living people that the Lord raised from the dead. There are deaf people that hear now. There are blind folks that see now. There are lepers that were cleansed and walking around and witnessing these things. So they all have a testimony, if you will, of this Jesus. So obviously everybody is talking about the last 7 to 10 days.
Right.
So it comes to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, their reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But notice, verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Very interesting. I don't have an answer for that. Other than the Lord is sovereign. And this is how he wanted to do things that day. And he does reveal himself to them. But he chose this specific way to have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So he withheld their eyes
that they did not know who this was. And he said, Jesus said to them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Catch the countenance. They were sad. They were downtrodden. They were reasoning. How can this be? And Jesus comes up and he says, what's wrong? What are you talking about? And why? What's the deal? I'm trying to put it in our language, you know? And they were astonished. They said, one of them named Cleopas, he answered, said, art thou a stranger? Have you just got here? Do you not know the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus says, what things? You know, sometimes God just asks the most interesting questions. And it causes us to think. It causes us to respond. Like he don't know the answer. Of course he knows. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they early at the sepulcher, when they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And I want y'all to catch these two verses right here. Jesus answered, and he said, oh fools. I find that phrase right there so interesting. The reason I find it interesting is because he tells us not to call people fools in Matthew 5:22 on the Sermon on the Mount. But he says, oh fools. I don't think he was saying this in a way to put them down like how sometimes we call people fools. I think he was pointing out that their foolishness, they were allowing their mind to wander. They were standing over here. And they were allowing the natural side of our minds to wander and be foolish and not consider what he had taught them. And they needed to stop thinking in this path and step over here and live by faith.
Yeah.
I think that's why he said, oh fools. See, being over here, it's not always just how we act. It can be how we think.
Amen. That is right.
And he says, oh fools. And slow of heart. What's he saying? He's saying, you're being too slow. Mm-hmm. Hurry up and step over to this side.
Yeah.
Why? Why are we so slow over here to move to this side? Because this is the comfortable spot, remember?
Yep.
This is the spot that's accepted by the world. This is the spot that is so easy to step back over into. This one is the hard one. Oh, slow of heart to believe. I don't know if these two were with Jesus and John 16 when he says, do you now believe? But he's telling them right here, you're slow to believe. Why are we so slow to believe sometimes?
Yeah, that's right.
State of mind. State of mind. We don't want to accept the reality of suffering in this life.
Right.
We don't want to accept the reality that the Jesus told us to crucify our flesh. We don't want to accept the reality, to deny self, deny the way, the things that I think and understand and trust, even though I don't understand, I don't fully know or grasp, just trust.
That's why we're so slow. Slow of heart. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. Notice, he says, all that the prophets have spoken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to realize, he has not shown them himself yet.
That's right.
He's going to. He's going to bless them in a way that they were not expecting, but he's going to point out something here. He's going to go back all the way to Moses. And he's going to expound unto them all the prophecies concerning himself. And they're even going to say, do you remember how our hearts burned? Woo! Amen. I could imagine that, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was there too.
Amen.
But he brings out one thing. One thing. And it's one of the hardest thoughts that I have. Because it's not only concerning himself, it's concerning us too.
Yeah.
Because he's our example. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What a question. He says, he's pointing out so much. He's pointing out his will. He's pointing out his covenant. He's pointing out his testament. He's pointing out his love. He's pointing out his determinate counsel. There's so many things here he is pointing out, but notice the order. Ought not Christ to have suffered?
Yeah.
First, then to enter into his glory.
Yeah.
Think about that for just a second. So that's our pattern. That's our pattern also. See, and I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful that's the pattern. Because see, if it was reversed the way when we're standing over here and we want it like that, it's reversed. That means we get glory now, but what's that mean?
Right.
It would be suffering later. Christ says, that's not the example. Example's where I'm at. He says, it's suffering now. Now, I want y'all to consider that for just a moment, though. We're not talking about just a man. We're talking about the God-man.
Yeah.
The 100% God that was also the 100% sinless man who chose to come and suffer. Why? See, Isaiah 53 says it like this. I want to catch just two verses here because see, he did have to suffer. But in a sense, because he's God, well, he didn't, but he chose to for his own glory. Goes back to that determinate counsel. Goes back to before the world began. It goes back in the mind, the purpose of God. There's so many, you know. But notice Isaiah 53, how he says it. He says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, I think the we there is the Jewish people in that day. They saw this Jesus being crucified in the manner that he was because he told the people that he was equal with God. And he performed miracles on the Sabbath. And these were things that was blasphemy. And they said, see, he's smitten of God. If he was God, this would not be allowed.
Right.
No, he chose. He chose to go through that suffering.
Amen.
Why? Yeah, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
That's why he chose. That's why he says, ought not Christ to have suffered? Yes. Why? Because he chose to. He wasn't slow of heart to believe what it was going to accomplish.
Right. Amen.
He was at perfect harmony with his Father. Met Moses and Elijah up on the mount. Talked about what he was fixing to accomplish. Mm-hmm. He fully understood and was willing to go through the suffering. And then to enter into his glory. You know, Paul lays it out real perfectly in my head. And it might not be the y'all might not see it the way that I kind of do. But in Hebrews 9, Paul says this in the second half of a sentence in verse 12. He says, by his own blood. You know, when he came and it says, ought not he have suffered and entered into his glory, what he was doing is he was fulfilling a testament. He was fulfilling a covenant. Now, I have to be very careful about this. All testaments are covenants, but all covenants are not testaments. What do I mean by that? Testaments require blood. When you write your will, that's called a testament. When you write your last will and testament, it does not go into force. It's not forced, what this right here talks about too, until you die. It requires death, I should say.
Yeah.
A testament requires death. Covenants, not all covenants do require death. I entered into a covenant with my wife when we got married 18 years ago. That covenant does not require death. So all testaments are covenants, but not all covenants are testaments. This covenant that was founded upon Jesus' blood before the foundation of the world is a testament that has to come to pass to be a force, because where there's a testament, there has to be the death of a testator. Okay? It requires blood that the Lord pointed out for thousands of years in his law, showing over and over and over this sacrificial law to shed blood. And Jesus is going to do it once.
Yeah.
So when it says, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory, I like this verse because it goes right along with it. Hebrews 9 and 12, the second half of the verse says, by his own blood, he entered in once.
Amen.
Into the holy place. You know what that was? That was his glory. He was able to enter in with blood. And it says, having obtained eternal redemption for us, is showing he said, Father, here it is.
Yep, that's it.
He entered into his own glory with his own blood after the suffering. And he said, here it is, Father. I've obtained it. And that secured all of us.
Amen.
So we have to. One, I hope we glory that. I hope that lifts us up and causes us, one, not to be slow of heart.
Yeah.
One, not to be a foolish thinker. One, always be willing to get out of this lane and back into this lane where we belong. But I don't want you to leave here not thinking you're going to not suffer. You are. He told you you are. But some of the greatest news you ever hear is glory's coming.
Yeah.
We sing a lot of songs this morning. Yeah, you're going to suffer here, but glory's coming.
Yeah, amen.
And that's why we come, we meet, we sing, we worship him today for all that he has done for us and even the example that he gives us to help us understand why we get hung up on why do we think life is so hard? Why am I like this? The Lord says, this is the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
Because it helps you focus on me if you're in the right lane. Let us have that mindset and give him all the praise and honor and glory for it. May the Lord bless you, my friend.
Yeah.